Let everybody say
amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. God is a good God. He is the best God. He is the only God that can serve us in here in on earth and in the eternity. So thank God for that. I want to thank Brother Little for filling in for me on last week. I was away, and it's good to see each and every one of you upon my return. And I'm thankful to all of those of you who prayed for me while I tripped and traveled. And even if you didn't pray for me, I thank you even if you just had a thought of me. And I want to thank you, and I still prayed for you, though, anyway. And so, with that said, the first thing, the first order of business we want to do is to go to God in prayer this morning. Amen. O wonderful and heavenly righteous Father, we are blessed once again because you have left us here and given us an opportunity to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for the raising us up this morning from our sleep and our slumber. We thank you, Father, that we woke up and living in a country that's free, that we may have the right to worship you in spirit and in truth without any retaliation from any governmental authorities. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and as we come praying, we pray for the sick and the shut-in, especially those of the household of faith. We're praying, O Heavenly Father, for those who are still on their way here this morning, that if they are, they may make it here with safety in mind, O Lord, and with you in mind and safety in their hearts. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for blessing us. We thank you for our leaders in this congregation. We thank you for their families. We thank you for each and every brother who has had a part in this service thus far. And we pray for their families as well. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the people who are going through it now in Nepal. We pray, Father, that if it be thy will, that you would stop the earth from moving, if it be your will, and give them peace and time, O Lord. Father, we pray for those people in Baltimore that the rioting and the devastation would halt, would be brought to a halt, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us and everything that you put in our hearts to do, O Lord, that we may do it in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you this morning for those who are here with us. We thank you, Father, for those who are unable to be here with us. Those would be those who are on our sick list, O Lord. We pray that you continue to bless them and give them a reasonable portion of their health and their strength back, if it be your will. Father, we thank you this morning for each and every one who is in this audience. We thank you once again. Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who marched up Calvary's hill, stretched out his arm and gave himself back to you, and said, Father, into your hands I commit my soul, O Lord. We thank you, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for this body, which is the Church of Christ, that he died for on that cross. We thank you for each and every member all over the world, O Lord, that they may worship thee once again in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, and we pray and ask for all of these blessings and many more as we move on into the next portion of these services. We pray that they would be found acceptable in thy sight. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask it all. Amen. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from Psalms number 118 and verse number 24, where the Bible says in Psalms number 118 and verse 24, it says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This morning we want to talk about joyous days in a Christian's life. We all have what we call special or joyous days in our lives. Days like our first love, our first date, our first kiss, our marriages, our first children, or our first child, and many other days. For some, they represent happy times. For others, as they look back, maybe not such happiness. For Christians, there are also special days in our lives, especially for those who are still on the battlefield for the Lord, those who are the hard-fighting soldiers of the cross. These are the days that many of us shall never forget. And if I may, I would like to highlight several days in our Christian life that should mean much to us. There are days that we should remember that as long as our memories serve us to remember them and always be thankful to God for them. The first day that I'd like to talk about is the day we came to Jesus. It should become etched in our minds the day on one comes to Jesus, putting on Him through baptism. According to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It is the day of a beginning of a new relationship. A relationship is formed between God and man. A relationship that can bring us eternal life. Baptism is the only way man can meet God for the remission of his sins. The only way he can be born again. According to 1 Peter 1 and verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word is not going to change. It shall be forever. Whatever you open your Bible to today, that will stand forever. So when I look at the text where it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." We ought to be glad in it, because it is the day that the Lord has made. Now, many do not understand the situation that that the Bible is speaking of. Jesus had to explain it to Nicodemus, so Nicodemus didn't understand it, so Jesus had to explain it to him. And we can have him explain it to us also. So if you will, turn over with me to the book of John. John chapter 3, starting at verse number 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, 'Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." You see, Nicodemus didn't understand. Jesus was talking about spiritual birth. Nicodemus was talking about childbirth. And he was talking about the birth of going back into his mother's womb. But one thing we should be happy about this morning, about that day that we became attached to God, that we became believers in the Lord, is the day that we were pardoned from eternal damnation if we live by the will of God. A day new life is given unto us. We are the dying. It was the beginning of a new day for Saul, who became Paul later on in Acts chapter 9, where he was baptized in Acts chapter 9. We have to read chapter 9 to get the whole story, but in Acts 9 and 18, we find Saul being encouraged to be baptized or being baptized. It was a new day for the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. In his work, he was a jailer, but he became nothing but a child of God. So I ask the question this morning, have you been washed in the blood? And if you have not, the question becomes, why not? If you have not been washed in the blood, You need to check yourself. You need to ask yourself and question yourself as to why you are not have not been born again through the watery grave of baptism. The next day I'd like to talk about is the day of restoration. Some Christians have found themselves in situations where they have become, for lack of a better word, the Bible says, backsliders. That is why they have turned from, that is where they have turned from following the Lord for reasons known only to themselves. They may have went back into the world. They may have become tired and burned out, or they may have found sin to be more appealing than saving their soul. Some even come to church, even though their hearts may not be in church. Their hearts may be somewhere else. So they are simply going through the motion of being a Christian. Whatever it may be, just know that help is available. And God is able to restore us back to our first love. Who or what is our first love? I can tell you that it's not the new car you may be driving. I can tell you it's not the new house you may be living in. Nor is it the new clothes you may be wearing on your back. According to Mark 12 and verse number 30, we are commanded to love the Lord with all thy heart and thy soul and all thy strength. This commandment was given to Israel back then, but it applies to us today as well. And when one turns from this love, he or she needs to be restored. Jesus warned the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4 how they had left their first love. How they had left their first love. Turn over with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. In Revelation 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." But look how he sums it up in verse number 5. He says, "Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." He told them to remember, and then to repent, and do the first work. Now I submit to you this morning, we can't do the first work until we are restored. We need to come back to our first love, which means that we have to be restored in order to come back to our first love. Now I tell you something about first love. I know when you talk about first love, sometimes people remember, and for most of us in here, it's a long way back. We start thinking about our first love. We start thinking about that young lady or that young man that you became so attached to. But that's not the kind of first love that I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the first love when you became a Christian. When you got baptized and met Christ through the washing of your sins and for the remission of your sins. I'm talking about learning to love all over again in a way that you were not used to loving prior to meeting the Lord. We need to love Him because He first loved us, according to John 4 and 1 John 4 and verse 19. He loved us enough to die for us, according to John 3 and verse 16. When we think about it, we look at the world in which we live. And we got a lot of reasons to love Jesus Christ. We got a lot of reasons why we should love Jesus Christ. We got a lot of reasons to give our love to Him because He gave us His love when He stretched out His arms and died for us on yonder's cross. Now I say this morning that if you don't know Jesus, you need to come to know Him. You need to come to know Him in the pardoning of your sins. The other day, another day that I'd like to talk about for a moment is the day of resurrection. There shall come a day when even Christians shall die. Our time here on earth, according to Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, is limited to a few days and full of troubles. Yet glory be to God, for He has a better place than this world for those of us who have lived faithfully. We are told of this place in Philippians chapter 3 around verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior Jesus Christ. But in verse number 21 it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Not only shall we be with Jesus, but we shall be like Jesus. These days can be joyous for us when we become a child of God. But you know something? Sometimes when we think about it, when we look back on that day when we first became a Christian, that was a joyous day. If you became a Christian when you were young, you made your family happy, you made the church happy. But most of all, you should have made yourself happy because you were being born, you were being baptized for the remission of your sin and being born into Christ. Not only that, but these days are joyous because for us, when we became a child of God, we put on Christ through baptism, our lives should have changed. Our lives should never be the same anymore. One day we shall all have to leave this physical life. And I know we've become accustomed to what we have. We shall have no more complaints, no more time to complain about how bad the weather is, how awful the conditions of this world are. No more concern about what the next day may bring, because one day we shall have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It's going to come whether we're ready or not, willing or not. All mankind make the same transition. We may not all have the same conditions, but we all shall die. Some of us will die from old age, some from accidents, some from sickness or illness. Doesn't make any difference how pretty we are. Doesn't make any difference how much money we have, how good we speak, or how educated we are. God is still going to call our number, and we just have to pray that we get to go home with God. Or you may be like Psalms 14 in verse number 1, where the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Or you may be like Luke 12 and verse 20, where the Bible said Jesus called the young man a fool. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. There is but one living God who is calling upon all men to make their calling an election sure. So I ask the question this morning, are you sure about your calling and your election? Remember the text that we are reading from this morning. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will all rejoice and be glad in it. Now I tell you something about this day. I've never seen this day before, and neither have you. We just have been blessed enough for God to grant us this day. Now when you think about it, when we lay down last night, we wasn't guaranteed that we were going to even see this day. But God has made fit in our plan to allow us to see this day. And I'm just so glad that God has allowed me to be over in this day. And you ought to be glad that He has allowed you to be over in this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. So when I look back at all of the things that God has done for us, yes, I know that there are some bad times in most of our lives, but there are some good times in our lives as well. You are still here. That's a good thing. You still have an opportunity to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. You still have an opportunity to call out His name. You still have the opportunity to get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you of your shortcomings. And you know something? Every last one of us has shortcomings. There are none of us that are perfect. Not one, except one. And that's none of us. So be glad that the Lord has left you here in this day, and rejoice and be glad in it. Now when I look back at those 3 days that I mentioned, the best one of all was the day that I became a member of the body of Christ, a member of the Lord's body. I went down into the water just like you did, and I came up a new creature. I came up differently, not looking different, not smelling different, but just washed in the blood of the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't ask me how, but the water mixes with the blood. Jesus is in there. The blood of Jesus is in the water. So when you think about it, is this the day that you should come and meet the Lord, your Savior? Is this the day that God has left aside for you? And remember what I told you, it doesn't make any difference how well you look, how well you dress. We're all going to die. And if you remember, and turn over with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13, if you will. If you don't serve Jesus, go to about verse number 43. Verse number 42. If you don't meet the Lord through the watery grave of baptism, and you don't live your righteous life, and then the Bible says, and he shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So I'd rather have the days that I mentioned up front to be upon me than that day that I have to go to you know where. When I look at this matter a little closer, I thank God that He has blessed us. I thank God that I'm still here. Once again, and you ought to thank Him that you are still here. You ought to thank God that He has stretched out your life. You know, when we went to bed last night, we anticipated this morning. Some of us even made plans for this morning when I get up. I'm going to fix me a nice hearty breakfast. I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink my coffee and I'm going to enjoy my breakfast. But we were not guaranteed that we were going to not only get up, but not only were we guaranteed of not getting up, but of waking up even. When you woke up this morning, the first thing you should have done was to get down on your knees or just roll over and just say, "Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me another opportunity to see a new day. And Father, with your blessings now, if you give me the use of my limbs and my mind and my body, I'll get up and then I'll go fix that big breakfast that I planned." You know, you didn't have to wake up. You didn't have to get up. You didn't even have to be here. And I thank God that for each and every one of you that are here, I thought of you last Sunday morning as I marched off to church where I was at. And when I got there, it was not the same as being at home. So I tell you, I miss being at home. I missed each and every one of you, but I thank God that I was able to go to church where I was at. I thank God that there was a Church of Christ for me to go to church in. I thank God that I was able to get to that church. And I thought about you and I said, I know what's going on there right about now. But nevertheless, God allowed me to make my journey. He gave me safe passage, and then He brought me back home. And I'll tell you, the trip gets longer every time I take it. I know I'm aging now. I only drove about 3 hours going and about 3 or 4 hours coming back. I thank God for my sisters, each one of them could drive. And let me tell you something. We hit some rain. And I thought about how good God is. I said, He's watering the earth so that it can be replenished with more food and more grass and more flowers. I thought about how good God was to us. And then I can't help but say, thank you, Lord. I couldn't help it. And I say it each and every time, each and every day of my life. Thank you, Lord, because I don't have to be here. I didn't have to be here. But those days that I mentioned, the day that we came, that we put on Jesus through baptism, the day of restoration, and finally the day of resurrection. You should be thankful to God that you can remember those days, those two of those 3 days, and you should pray that you get resurrected in the right way on that third day. So if this be your desire, we're going to offer the invitation. If you are not a child of God, if you have not put on God in the pardoning of your sins, you need to come forward. You need to hear the gospel, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And if you've done that already, but some kind of way you went astray, you need to come back home. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may be strong in the Lord once again, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 414.